It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. Sitkins continue to call for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, to reestablish its home health care department after it closed last fall. When the Sitka Assembly meets tonight, it will consider a resolution urging SEARCH to reestablish the Medicare-certified department. SEARCH replaced its home health department with a home-based care model last September. SEARCH maintains that the program continues to provide equivalent services. But some community members say the new program isn't the same, and they want a return to Medicare-certified home health. The resolution is sponsored by Assembly members Kevin Mosier and Tim Pike. A memo included in the Assembly packet reads, quote, "While we acknowledge that we are not experts in the medical care profession and respect SEARCH's independence, we respectfully request that SEARCH consider undertaking a sincere and inclusive public outreach effort in Sitka. Furthermore, we ask SEARCH to reconsider reinstating their previous program if it is both desired by the community and feasible." In other business, the Assembly will consider authorizing the municipal administrator to apply for a $1 million hydroelectric incentive grant from the Department of Energy and consider property tax exemptions for Sheldon Jackson Child Care Center and Youth Advocates of Sitka. The Sitka Assembly meets at 6 p.m. tonight. Raven News will broadcast the meeting live following Alaska News Nightly. The Sitka Sound Sacro Herring Fishery closed for the season on Friday. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game published the last fishery update for the 2024 season on Monday afternoon. In aerial surveys on Monday, state fisheries biologists observed small amounts of herring spawn in St. John Baptist Bay, DeGroff Bay, Promisla Bay, Eastern Bay, and Hayward Strait. Last December, when the state published the guideline harvest level, or GHL, for this year, area management biologist Aaron Dupuis said that the fishery wouldn't come close to reaching the GHL due to decreased processing capacity. That proved true. Early estimates suggest around 13,300 tons were caught in this year's fishery. That's around 16% of the state's guideline harvest level of 81,000 tons, which is 20% of the estimated biomass projected by the state. The department reported observing around 79 nautical miles of herring spawn for the season. Silver Bay Seafoods is poised to take over Peter Pan Seafoods processing operations this year, according to a joint press release on Thursday. Silver Bay will acquire Peter Pan's Valdez facility, as well as operate Peter Pan's facilities in Dillingham and Port Moeller during the 2024 salmon season. The move is part of a larger restructuring for Silver Bay to take over all of Peter Pan's processing and support facilities later this year. Two of the largest salmon processors in the state, Peter Pan and Silver Bay, each have facilities next to each other in Valdez. They previously discussed partnering with one another, including talks of forming a joint venture. Ultimately, however, Peter Pan decided to sell the cannery and its assets to Seattle-based Silver Bay. Silver Bay CEO Cora Campbell said in the press release, the Alaska seafood industry needs to improve efficiency in order to, quote, remain competitive in a global marketplace and continue to support viable coastal economies. Global markets and foreign fish have put the wrench on Alaska's seafood industry and thrown the entire industry into turmoil. Peter Pan's troubles have been particularly bad. The company's plant in King Cove remained closed this winter, and some fishermen have filed liens against the company for money owed from last season's catch. Aquila, an Alaska-based behavioral health provider, is leaving Ketchikan. The organization, which also has facilities in Homer, Kenai, and Anchorage, announced it will be closing its doors in the first city on June 30th. As KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, it could widen an already large gap in services for those struggling with mental health and substance abuse.
Aquila has operated two facilities in Ketchikan for over a decade. The Gateway Center for Human Services, which offered counseling and outpatient resources for drug abuse and addiction, and Car House, a residential long-term treatment facility. Aquila attorney Clinton Campion announced the closure at the April 4th Ketchikan City Council meeting. Campion cited a lack of staffing as the reason for the closure. And last fall, Car House temporarily closed its doors, saying they were short-staffed.
Despite the closure in October 2023, Aquila has worked diligently to try to reopen the car house and to continue to staff the Gateway Center. There have been recent investments and challenges in recruiting by other local and regional treatment providers, and Aquila has been unable to maintain a sufficient workforce to staff the facilities.
Not everyone agreed with this reasoning, though. Ruth Bullock, a private counselor and the former clinical director for Aquila's Gateway Center, pushed back. She took the podium during public comment to say that the lack of staffing was because the Gateway Center and Aquila failed to offer a livable wage.
Our community behavioral health center pays $15 and change an hour. It's a cheap excuse. It's a cheap excuse to say we can't hire people. You don't offer a competitive wage, you won't find people to work. That is not the fault of the community, but we sure have paid dearly for it.
Bullock also stressed the seriousness of the mental health crisis in Ketchikan.
In my 30-some years of living here, we have less services for in the behavioral health field than I have ever been aware of. I think it's pathetic.
And according to Aquila's attorney, the organization made the decision to pull out of the city within the last week. Mayor Dave Kiefer said that it feels sudden and leaves the city and the council scrambling. Vice Mayor Janelle Gage, though, was critical of Aquila's existing services. She said that the Gateway Center originally had more than 40 employees and offered over a dozen programs. Then, sometime around 5 years ago, it started to degrade.
All I've seen is people not getting the help they need, being funneled out and ignored. And at the same time, employees expected to live on the wages that were being offered in 2012. So no disrespect, but I don't even want to think about how Aquila is going to assist us in the soft transition when we basically have been falling off the cliff for the last 5 years. Sorry.
Councilmember Jay Mitani agreed. He said there's a growing shortage of services, and he expressed a lack of trust in Aquila working with other Ketchikan-based providers to help their local clients struggling with addiction and mental health. He called it a travesty.
The issues of mental health in this community are terrible, and I don't think Aquila has ever stepped up to the plate. And how are you assuming that local mental health care providers are going to step up?
City Manager Delilah Walsh said that behavioral health services are the responsibility of the state, meaning that for a new provider to step into the space left by Aquila, they'll have to go through the state for a grant. Then they need to receive approval from the city to secure the grant and occupy the vacated Gateway building. It's unknown how long that process could take. Campion, Aquila's lawyer, told the council that the organization is in conversations with Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center and the city manager to ensure that their clients and stakeholders will have a smooth transition come June 30th. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
Each year, the cities in Southeast, like Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan, collect a fee from each cruise ship passenger that comes to town. Those fees fund projects that serve visitors and ease the impacts of tourism. In Juneau, those fees are expected to add up to more than $20 million this year. But some of those projects could be in jeopardy. Last week, cruise line officials sent a letter to the city saying that 9 of its proposed projects, including public Wi-Fi downtown and increased bus service to the Mendenhall Valley, don't meet the terms of a 2019 settlement agreement that determines what the fees can pay for. The letter from Cruise Lines International Association Alaska, known as CLIA, says those projects, quote, do not meet the necessary criteria set forth by either the law or the settlement agreement. But at an assembly finance meeting this weekend, Juneau tourism manager Alex Pierce says she recommends the assembly move forward with funding the projects despite the objections.
We talk a lot about collaboration with CLIA, and sometimes you need to have hard discussions. This is one of them, but this feedback came late. It came outside of the established process, and I would recommend that the assembly just move forward with its budget cycle.
In 2019, Juno and CLIA came to a settlement agreement after a three-year legal fight over marine passenger fees and how Juno spends the money it collects from the cruise ship passengers. From that settlement, CLIA agreed to not object to how the city spends the fee forward, but both parties would meet annually to discuss those plans. And both parties also agreed to continue working together and to settle future disagreements outside of court. Pierce says CLIA's recent letter was sent far too late in the process that's outlined in the settlement agreement. She says the objections did not come up during the city's annual meeting with CLIA earlier this year, and that the city had already built its proposed budget, assuming that these projects could be funded.
CLIA is aware of that timeline. We had a meeting where we discussed the budget, and then very late in the process, they came forward with this letter that does not follow the timeline.
The Assembly will have the final say about whether the projects will be put into its budget for next year. They could consider the objections made by CLIA and take the projects out if they want to. CLIA did not answer specific questions about their objections, but in an email response, spokesperson Renee Reeve says she's confident CLIA and the city will come to a resolution. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News.